would become a Roman Catholic. And so, after 6 months of introduction to modern education, Pepezalik was put back in the Rafael school, church school. In 1928 or 29, his father placed him in the service of the Geronimo de Zalik to become acquainted with court and state affairs. Growing adept at the art of writing official letters, he came to act as Mundesalic's secretary, private secretary. At the age of 19, he entered into an arranged marriage to Wesir Kasai Dasta, the celebrations being held in the Mundesalic's house. However, Mundesalic was determined to gain access to modern education and to learn a foreign language. He thus left the post to enroll at last in the Tabarimukonin school, where teaching was in French. Having reached grade 6 in less than 3 years, he abandoned his studies to avoid being recruited into the then newly established military academy of Kolkata, and returned to the service of Bodhisattva. During the persecution of young Ethiopian intellectuals in Addis Ababa, following the attempt on the life of Italian Viceroy Graziani in February 1937, Pepezalik, along with many other young Ethiopians, was arrested and taken to the prison camp at Danane on the Indian Ocean coast near Mogadishu in Italian Somalia. Here he took the opportunity of learning Italian and revealed his interest in history by carefully recording the names of all those who were in the camp. He was among a group of released in mid 1939, and because of his fluency in Italian, was employed by the Italian authorities as a translator at Amaya near Ambo, west of the capital, until the end of 1940. After the liberation in May 1941, he tried his hand at business for a few months, but was not successful. The Progressive Minister of Education, Mukonin Dasgupta, then employed him on the recommendation of Arama Waradat, who had been with the Pepezalik in the Danane prison camp. His assignment was to translate an Italian book, the four-volume Storia di Abisidia, Rome, 1936-38, by Luca Pietro Marzi, an Italian diplomat who wrote under the pseudonym of Luca de Sabelli. While rising rapidly within the ministry, Pepezalik continued his translations, taking notes for himself. In the late 1950s, meetings were held in the Ministry of Education to discuss the shortage of textbooks for students, and particularly of history books. It stimulated Pepezalik to write, in Amharic, his first historical monograph to demonstrate to Ethiopians that the Ethiopians could write their own history in their own language. As the Bishop of Kalan has pointed out, he succeeded in presenting Ethiopian history from an Ethiopian rather than the European Eurocentric point of view prevailing at the time. Mukonin Dasta took the draft to be approved by the Emperor, who ordered it to be studied by a committee appointed for the purpose at the Ministry of the Ten. Much to the Pepezalik's exasperation, the committee took months to approve it. It was eventually published in 1945-6, and Pepezalik was, as a result, promoted to the rank of Secretary General. During his period of office in the ministry, he also opposed what he considered the imperialist influence of the British in the Ethiopian educational system, and succeeded in having British teachers replaced by those from other English-speaking countries. His services were now demanded by the Ministry of Ten, but his own minister, the Ministry of Education, was unwilling to release him. The dispute, later took the sadly being appointed to neither ministry. Instead, he was assigned, again as Secretary General, to the Franco-Ethiopian Railway Company, a post he accepted with some reluctance. He decided to concentrate on writing and published two monographs on cultural history. From the Worship of Idols to Christianity was one, and The Character of Man and the Art of Living in Society was the other. There followed his first posting abroad in 1952 as First Secretary to the Ethiopian Embassy in Paris. He was given 2 years paid leave that enabled him to pursue research at the Bibliothèque Nationale. The results of his studies, begun before he went abroad, were 3 further volumes, taking the Ethiopian history back from the period towards us to pre-Aksumite times. They were published over a 6-year period between 1952-3 and 1958-9. This first of his 2 historical series was the principal comprehensive history of Ethiopia then available in Amharic, and came to be widely read by other Ethiopians interested in their history and as prescribed texts in the schools. As Ethiopian history was not at the time of the curriculum, the texts were studied in Amharic reading and grammar classes. Dr. Tadic's ability to present historical events in a clear and comprehensible fashion contributed to the popularity of the writings. Recalled to Addis Ababa in 1957, he was appointed Director General at the Ministry of Pensions. During the 2 years he spent in that post, he devoted much of his attention to early and medieval Ethiopian history. He published a study of Egyptian, Sabaean, and Ethiopian scripts, and a history of Ethiopia and Egypt. This covered the reigns of 4 ancient Egyptian rulers, including the Southern or Nubian rulers, whom he associated with the beginnings of Ethiopian history. It was also at this time that he published the 3rd and 4th volumes of his first series in historical studies. Subsequently, in 1959, he became briefly the head of the National Library and the Archaeological Center Bonn, under the Ministry of Education, with the rank of Assistant Minister. For the Archaeological Department, he prepared rules and regulations on which the later Antiquities Department was based. In early 1960, he was again sent abroad, this time to Jerusalem as Consul General. Able once more to study sources of Ethiopian history, he wrote his first book in French, L'Empereur de Riyako, Les Alettes à la Communauté Jérusalem. He also published 3 years after the December 1960 coup d'etat in Ethiopia, which he had welcomed by opening the Port of Chapelle, an allegory for an inequality in the animal kingdom entitled Les Animaux Oubliés et Anesthocats. A publisher in France had earlier dared to attempt to correct the text before offering to publish it, an offer that Tadic therefore declined. After 5 years in Jerusalem, he was recalled. Uncertain of his reception, instead of returning to Addis Ababa, he handed over his duties in Israel and left for Paris, writing to the emperor that he was undergoing medical treatment and was working on a book on Ahmed Drive. However, after a year, he decided to risk returning to Ethiopia and was rewarded with an ambassadorship to Yugoslavia in 1965. There, he produced a learned discourse in French on baptismal, personal, and throne names of royal personages from the 13th to the 20th centuries. Unfortunately, this valuable mimeograph study was, to my knowledge, never published. However, in 1967, His next volume, The Iglesia de Etiopi, written in September 1964, was published in Paris. In the early 1970s, Tocqueville took up his last post prior to the revolution as Minister of State of the Antiquities Administration, where he was given responsibility for controlling and administering important historical sites, in particular Axum, Lalibela, and Gondar. He played an important and creative role at this time in encouraging archaeological research. He was also entrusted with the chairmanship of the committee drafting the second volume of Emperor Haile Selassie's biography. Also during this period, reflecting on the danger of Ethiopia of ignoring the powerful Arab and Muslim world, as well as the Ethiopian Muslims, in favor of closer ties with Israel, he published his massive volume on the expeditions of Imam Ahmed Ibrahim, known in Ethiopia as Grime, showing how the Imam's strength had been underestimated. In 1974, in the early stages of the Ethiopian Revolution, he was appointed Minister of Education. But because of his disagreements between the government and the third, his appointment was withdrawn. Instead, he was appointed Minister of Culture, Sports and Youth, a post he was pleased to occupy, though in the event it was only for a short time. Already, when he was in charge of antiquities, he had proposed the establishment of such a ministry to protect the national heritage, including church treasures, and with an awareness of the possibility of tourism. In March, he was also appointed to the Constitutional Conference convened to revise the 1955 Constitution, and was elected as chairman. However, the new constitution drafted by the conference was never promulgated. Less than a year after becoming Minister of Culture, following the execution of 16 by the Turk in November 1974, Tocqueville Sadik asked permission to retire on account of his age, and through the intervention of the head of state, at that time, Tepe Banze, was allowed to do so a month later. In the following decade, Tocqueville Sadik completed his autobiography, a task he understood at the insistence of his sons. He saw no value in it, believing that his record in public life and his writings would speak for themselves. But the family argued that he should record his life and thoughts. Accordingly, he showed his son, Dr. Shimele Tocqueville Sadik, a two-page outline in 1976. When Dr. Shimerson returned to Nairobi some 8 years later, the 265-page biography had been written. Dr. Sadik strongly supported the UNESCO initiative for a general history of Africa. His contributions on Christian Aktoum and on the Horn of Africa were published in the 1980s. He also did his best, when funds permitted, to take part in the triennial international conferences of Ethiopian studies convened at various international centers. He was able to attend and read papers at the fifth conference, Nice 1977, on the invitation of the commissioner, Joseph Juliana, the eighth, Addis Ababa 1984, and the tenth, Paris. In 1967-8, under the auspices of the then Prime Minister, Christian Lassie of Beres, who was a key proponent of Ethiopian unity at a time when this was under threat, Dr. Sadik was able to pursue his ambition to carry out more detailed research in the national archives of France, Britain, and Italy, in preparation for a new and fuller history of the modern unifying rulers of Ethiopia. He had hoped also to visit the Russian archives, which was unable to obtain a visa. He returned to Europe in 1981 Italy, France, and Britain, and traveling for the first time to the United States. Access to foreign archives resulted in a much more professional historical approach. His trilogy on the reigns of Emperor Boudreaux to Hannes and Hermione, in the context of Ethiopian unity, published 1988-9 to 1991, was well received and had footnotes, illustrations, and appendices. These works were to crown his writing career and mark his end. Asked by my husband Richard why he did not bring his detailed history of Ethiopia more up to date, Dr. Tadic declared himself tired. Smiling wryly, he dismissed the Giasu as insignificant and expressed unwillingness to move further into the history of his own times. Although educated in the Ethiopian Orthodox Church, Dr. Tadic was not a fervent adherent, seeing its importance as a cultural institution rather than a faith. Never interested in acquiring land or money, he told his children that from him they would get only education. What you will inherit is knowledge and good example, he said. He sent one of his sons to the Swedish Evangelical School, from where he entered the prestigious Hallstahammar Secondary School. His other son followed in his two footsteps at the Tamarind Common School and continued his studies in the USA. Though at times hot-tempered, Dr. Tadic was a good father to his sons. He would play draughts and table tennis with them. I learned whilst I was sitting next to Professor Andreas that he used to quit when he was playing table tennis with one of his sons. And defeating him completely, he threw the racket at him and said, "You never were good at anything, not even at table tennis." He would play draughts and table tennis with the Sasha with them and would tell them stories in the evenings, though in front of visitors, this was not often the case. Having had no daughters, he was pleased to raise three granddaughters. Dr. Tadic was a punctilious civil servant who took his responsibilities seriously, including regular attendance at innumerable committees. He was always conscious of the needs of his country and people, and this led him often to a critical attitude towards the government under which he served. He was a man of integrity, and a reformer by temperament, born modern, as one of his sons expressed it. That he was widely respected became evident when, at the time when the country was in crisis, the 30-member Constitutional Conference elected him as its chairman, as their chairman. In 1991, he was nominated for a prize as Best Ethiopian Historian by Addis Ababa University. The following year, he was accorded the honor of giving out diplomas to graduates at the university. Despite his busy life as a public servant, Dr. Tadic remained true to his vocation as a historian of Ethiopia. One writer who interviewed him in 1992 observed that he talked about historical personages as though he knew them intimately, and his knowledge reigned over the entire span of Ethiopian history. Self-taught, he was happy to write all his main works in his mother tongue. And here are the foreign historians writing. We have our own language and history, and here we are. Here are the foreign historians writing about us in Italian and French. When necessary, he could and did write in French. And later in his life, he also learned English. Even when on duty as a public servant, he could at times betray his preoccupation with history. On one occasion, when I was working at the National Library of Ethiopia at the beginning of his tenure as its head, I was called to his office. As a protection against the dusty shelves, I was wearing my yellow overall. He looked at it steadily for a while, and then murmured, "That was the colour of Ahmed Grimes' flag." Living frugally, he managed to collect a number of Ethiopian artifacts and historical paintings. His greatest interest, however, was in collecting books. In the course of time, he built up a valuable library of Ethiopia, which sadly was dispersed towards the end of his life. Though modern in his outlook, Tekle Sadik was nevertheless a product of the Ethiopian society of his time, with its traditional culture, courtesies, and attitudes. It took the arrival of a grandchild, Teo Eshetu, to reconcile him to one of his sons marrying a foreigner. In an effort to understand Ethiopia, Teo, a notable cinematographer, raised in Italy, whose first camera was a gift from his grandfather, made a film of Ethiopia using his profession to see the country through his grandfather's eyes. Tekle Sadik was an original thinker, proud of his country's independence and achievements, which he wanted to make known through his writings. He was one of the first scholars to sign the petition for the return from Italy of the looted Axum obelisk, and would have rejoiced to see it back. No longer to be seen driving through the town in his ancient red Volkswagen. A slender, neatly dressed figure wearing a felt hat that accompanied him everywhere. Tekle Sadik is sadly missed by his time of his friend. And by all others in Ethiopian history. The Ethiopian scene is poorer, quite sparser.